Greetings, and now is Kanakagwego. I'm thankful you're well. You're listening to Gyno. If you're tuning in for the first time today, Gyno is a Seneca word for music or song. I'm your host, Brett Mabee, and each week we take a listen to some amazing music from different indigenous artists from all across this great turtle island. So for this next hour, you're invited to enjoy the music and the chat. My featured guest today is Rex Lyons, Eel Clan of the Onondaga Nation. He's a man of many talents. He sits on the board of the New York State Blues Festival. He's the founder of the Ripcords, a band based out of Syracuse. We're going to be discussing their albums, The Last Dance, Unmasked, Earl Slick and the West Side Social Club, future plans, and a whole lot more. So without further ado, you're invited to turn it up and sing along with the bottle Let Me Down today. On Gyno.
Well, each night I leave the barroom when it's over. I'm not feeling any pain at closing time. But the night your memory found me much too sober. Well, I said I couldn't drink enough to keep you off my mind. Tonight, the bottle let me down. It let your memory. Well, each night I need a bottle, I can tend to you. And now, Lily, baby, I've been tending every day. All the wine don't take effect the way it used to. I've been hurting in an old familiar way. Tonight, the bottle let me down. It let your memory hang around. Down.
That's the bottle Let Me Down from the Ripcord's 2019 The Last Dance, kicking off our listening on today's edition of Guy Note. If you're just now tuning in, welcome to today's chat with my featured guest, Rex Lyons, the founder and leader of the Ripcord's. Nyawiskano, Rex, how are you doing today?
Nyawiskano, I'm doing great. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, it's an honor to be able to chat with you today. It's a long overdue conversation, and we have a number of albums to talk about today. Of course, we're going to be talking about The Last Dance, Unmasked, your collaboration with Earl Slick. We're going to touch a little bit on Native American Music Awards and a whole lot more in between, but for the sake of the new listener out there, why don't we go ahead and get started with some introductions. Please, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. My given name is Rex Lyons, but my Haudenosaunee name is Tehoidadi. I'm a citizen of Onondaga Nation, Heel Clan. Grew up on Onondaga Nation, you know, played lacrosse all my life and been a working musician since I can remember. I started pretty humbly back when I was a young teen, around 11 years old. I knew things were going to start to develop as a musician because I was really... had some great influences. My mother had an amazing record collection, but it's been quite a journey.
Just out of curiosity, did your dad's relationship with John Lennon have anything to do with you wanting to get into music?
You know, my father, he's kind of the Renaissance man of sorts, and he had great knowledge of music. You know, he was an artist himself. Yeah. You know, and went to SU and was an art major and studied fine arts. But, you know, the School of Art is also right in the same building as the School of Music. And he used to go have his lunch and listen to them guys play Bach on that huge pipe organ in Klaus Hall there, you know. And, you know, but he had a very, I would say, a vast knowledge. And he said himself, he said, back in the day, he said, they were zoot suiters. The Indians loved to dance and sing, play piano. They were musicians, you know, like you say. I think that's, again, reflection of just another expression of being connected to music and it's where it comes from, you know, and the impact that it has. But to answer your question, he has a lot of a lot of influences on me, especially his different associations that he's had, like Carlos Santana. I've had the good fortune of, you know, sitting in some pretty esteemed company because of my father, which is always blows my mind because he's very humble. He never speaks of it, you know, until I'm standing there before somebody. Oh, yeah. And people will call him across the room. And I remember we were in a Shoreline Amphitheater, Bonnie Raitt. They'll come across the room and say, hey, Orin. I'm like, he's sandbagging on me. He never said a word.
Wow. You know? I just saw something about Paul McCartney's daughter that, you know, for the first few years of her life, she had no idea that her father was so famous, you know. So it's kind of funny that these anecdotes come up over time and you're like, wow, well, what else can you tell me, huh?
Exactly. Yeah, so I think one of the things that was really profound that my father kind of, he saw that I had taken an interest in music. And that, you know, being a young man and being kind of full of energy and I wouldn't say that they're incorrect influences, but they were limited, the influences I was getting. And I was attracted to the new wave, the punk scene. I wasn't really into the mainstream of pop music. I was more into the anarchy and the radicalness of that, you know. So he said, you know what, be serious about this. He said, you got to go through something. He took me to this jazz joint down in the Village of New York City. The place was called Sweet Basil. And we went and saw... Billy Miller, an extraordinary piano player, which I didn't know at the time. And at the time, I think I was probably 15 years old, you know, and I picked up the guitar, picked up the bass, and I was playing in the band already and doing all these things. And he says, you know, you need a little perspective. And I'll tell you what, I was blown away by that show. It really shook me to my roots because I was just dumbfounded by the level of musicianship and how engaged I was, because it was they were clearly speaking way above my head in their language, but it still hit my heart. I was blown away by this three piece that, you know, it was the drums and the bass and a piano, and I was mesmerized. But this is one of the things, you know, that, just one occasion I can tell you that my father was, you know, trying to give me perspective, because as like any artist, you know, the broader the perspective, the broader your expression, you know?
Yeah. all of those influences, I think, really come through in the Ripcords on the various albums throughout the years. Let's pivot a little bit and talk about the formation of the band. It's my understanding we're going back to like 2003 now with the Ripcords, yeah?
Yeah. And it's really funny because, like I said, you'll get a kick out of this. Now we're going back a ways, back in the late 80s, 90s. I formed a band with, it was just me, a couple of guys from the Reds, my buddies I grew up with, we started playing music, and the name of the band was White Boy and the Wagon Burners. And we really made a splash. We actually played a short in amphitheater. We were really close to getting to the next level. But, being a little bit young, rambunctious, and undisciplined, we didn't quite get there. But not to say we didn't have an opportunity. But, boy, that name, we got a lot of traction out of that. Yeah, I got to tell you. As a matter of fact, I bought the domain name just because I was instructed. You should. That's a great tagline. And whether you do something with it or not, it's good to have that. I took the advice of, a fellow musician. I never would have thought that. But that was my humble beginnings, we were kind of tongue-in-cheek about the, we're going to come right out and say it, about the race factor here. We got a white boy here. And we got these wagon burners here trying to make some music, coming together and making some music and bringing everybody together in kind of a little humor. I mean, as you know, Indians got great sense of humor.
It's all we've had throughout these years.
Right?
Oh, we got a lot of great listening today. In fact, as we were getting caught up in our pre-interview today, we really started to touch on kind of how profound the blues is in Haudenosaunee territories. And so I thought it'd be kind of fun to make this a Haudenosaunee blues show, of course, featuring the great music of the Ripcords. We'll come back right after Jimmy Wolf's Tail Dragger. We're also, before the show is up, going to hear a special tribute going out to my late great friend Butch Mudbone. But kicking things off right now, it's the Ripcords from their 2021 Unmasked. It's a live take of Crush On You. Also to Nonda Jates, you're listening to Gyno.
I got a crush on you. Try to explain to everyone I know. You and me, baby, we live in blow by blow. So keep on pushing, you'll never push me away. I got a crush on you. Away. I got a crush on you, baby.
right beside you I will stay. I got a crush on you, turn me inside out. Crush on you, girl, there ain't no doubt. All of my friends say you made me a fool. I can't help myself, I gotta
I got a twitch right here. I got a crush on you. A crush on you. A crush on you. Girl, I got a crush on you.
This is Bebe Buckskin, and you're listening to Guy Notes with Brett Mabee.
Drag. come sneaking back.
Jimmy Wolf's 2009 Tail Dragger as we wind down the first block of listening on today's episode of Gyno. Welcome back to the chat if you're just now tuning in. I'm joined on the line with Onondaga artist Rex Lyons. We're discussing his musical background, the eclectic nature of his art, and right now we're going to dive a little bit more into the Ripcord's vast history. Now, once again, 2003, that's 20 years now. First and foremost, are you guys going to be doing anything special for the 20-year anniversary?
Yeah, we actually did that. You know, prior to that, you know, up and coming, and with the pandemic, it's made things a little bit uncertain. You know, some of the more, we've even lost some venues that just aren't coming back. You know, they just weren't able to withstand it, you know, the impact of it. But we are, you know, long story short, we definitely plan on doing something. It's just a matter of when and where. You know, we're getting our summer calendar together. But it's been a great journey because, you know, we're at the time in our life, and I think we've really kind of lucked out that we're not young kids. You know, we're seasoned musicians now, and able to get through, you know, some of the challenges of being in a band for 20 years. It's like being in a marriage because you've got five creative people with strong opinions, and some stronger than others, you know, and finding your way through those things. Because through, I would say, different perspectives, I wouldn't even call them disagreements, but just opinions, and getting through that, I think it comes out in our music, you know, because as you can see, we touch it. We'll dabble in pretty much any genre that we that moves us, you know, and do it with some continuity. I think that's what's one of our earmarks that I don't think everybody can do. And I think, again, that's just from us being seasoned and all the different influences we have. But we don't have anything in the calendar yet of the 20th anniversary, but for sure.
The eclectic nature of the band, and again, how all of this comes together to make this unique sound, has really allowed you guys some amazing opportunities to share the stage with, like, Santana, Steve Miller. You know, what are some of the standouts over these years?
Well, of course, you know, I got to mention Earl Slick, because I remember listening to John Lennon's Double Fantasy album, and I wasn't really even sure. You know, I knew Earl played with Bowie and all this, and this was just by happenstance that I was playing a gig, and Earl was also there. He heard Rex Lyons, and he was like, and we had known each other. And the funny story is that he was really stalking my father, which is interesting. There again, my father's, you know, his outreach it goes so far reaching, and Earl has been watches everything that he's done on YouTube and listens to him religiously. He loves that stuff. And when he found out that I was his son, he says, "Hey, you know, I'm so-and-so." And we had this great little interview. He says, "Hey, I don't sound weird or anything, but it's really, you know, is Orin your father?" And he says, long story short, he says, "Yeah." He says, "Can you think I could meet him? I'd love to chat with him." I said, "Sure." And that's what kicked it off, because Earl is iconic. Rock star. He's been there. I mean, the stories he can tell you. You know, being in the studio and John Lennon holding his kids, and there's pictures, all these different pictures. It was just surreal to be connected to this guy. And then you kind of get into his orbit a little bit. I've met Bernard Fowler, who was a very close friend of him. Bernard sings backup for the Stones, and he's for more than almost 40 years now. And another great human being. These guys are really down-to-earth dudes, too. But sometimes it's not all the way, always that way with these A-listers, but these guys are extraordinary human beings. I'm very fortunate, but I think it's no accident. Like-minded, you know, water seeking its own level, and we've had a great relationship. It's just developed over the time where this guy's very humble. He doesn't think that he's better than or anything. He just likes to play music, likes to share what he has, and I'll tell you, it's just mind-blowing. You know, some of the people I've had the good fortune of you know, performing with and just being listening, sometimes not performing with, but just getting backstage and having a conversation. Someone like Santana, another guy, you know, just extraordinary individual.
Yeah, he exudes a real spiritualism. You can just, it just comes across. It's another one of those things you can't fake, you know.
Right, right.
Obviously, you guys recorded with Earl Slick for the 2019 Earl Slick and the West Side Social. How long into your guys' relationship did that album come about?
I would say it was the second year. What he found out is that once you start talking, my father, and my father, the same thing, he blew his mind. It was funny. You know, Earl comes out of this conversation, you know, he's scratching his head. He goes, "Your father just blew my mind. I can't tell you what he was just talking to me about." And he says, I got to sit with this and digest what we just had a conversation. It was mind blowing. So anyway, it kind of sparked this deeper relationship that was about to bloom. And he likes coming up here to kind of get off the grid. You know, he comes out because he lives about an hour and a half outside of New York City. He's got a great log cabin. I've been to his place, you know, full of music, but he loves being in the woods, which is contrary to persona. You know, he grew up in Brooklyn, and he's a Brooklyn boy, born and raised, and he has all of that still in him, and the love of music and all of that contemporary stuff, but where he wants to be at peace is he's up in the woods with his log cabin and his newfie dog there, and it's just amazing, you know.
Just out of curiosity, any more plans to collaborate with him on future projects too?
Yeah, actually, yeah. It's really funny you say that because there was a guy up here that I know. There's a couple different studios, and he really connected one of my buddies who still has the big 72 channel Neve board. Like, there's only a few of them around the East Coast. You usually have to go to the bigger cities to find one of those. Anyway, here in little old central New York, we've got this guy, Moltrax, and Earl records on 2-inch tape. He does everything analog, and Earl says, "Geez, you know, I could really do some work here," in which he does, because a lot of Earl's work is in Europe now. That's where he makes a lot of his living. He goes over there and does a lot of shows, and he has a book out, he does movie spots, all of that stuff, but he also gets guest appearances of his own that he can do via the internet. Now he has a studio. They said, "Yeah, this is, you know, it's only 2 hours away. I can come up here. I can hang with you, get some work done, make some money. This is great." So, you know, we've talked about doing so. As a matter of fact, I have another project already in the can, and I mastered it the other day. Went in the studio, it's mastered. I'm still putting the packaging together, and it's called the West Side Social Club, 6 Feet Apart. During the pandemic.
That seems like an appropriate name.
Yeah, but we were going to call it the West Side Social Distancing Club, but I didn't want to throw any people off.
Yeah, you got to keep it the social club, right?
Yeah, that's right. Got to have some continuity. But we know, we're always looking for the joke, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And again, that humor definitely comes through in a lot of the music. And this has been an incredible conversation so far, Rex. Let's get back into the music. We'll come back and talk future plans. I mean, you already gave us a little bit of a teaser, but I know you have a lot going on. So, we'll come back and chat in just a few. For listeners out there, at this time, you're invited to turn it up and sing along with one from Cornbread, Butch Mudbone from his final album, Stroke Into Bones, and this one from Earl Slick and the West Side Social Club. It's the Ripcords and Thick as Thieves. Turn it up and sing along. You're listening to Gyno.
Making my way to Texas, I don't think I'm coming home alive. I said I'm making my way to Texas, I don't think I'm coming home alive. They got their own army down there looking for a fight, and so am I. Looking over my shoulder a little more than I used. I said I'm looking over my shoulder a little more than I used to do. saw the silver, but she took the gold. Yeah, she left me some of the silver, but she took the gold. Yeah, she left me with this busted heart, and Lord God knows she took my soul.